Man, when we were singing that song earlier, I was just blown away at the imagery that God had placed in my mind. And as we were singing, you know, the enemy is defeated, sin and death is defeated, right? And I couldn't help but think that Satan was watching all that was happening the day that Jesus was going to be resurrected. He was watching, and all of a sudden that huge stone started to shake. And it started to vibrate. And all of a sudden, the stone started rolling over. Remember, it was sealed, and it had guards out in front of it. And all of a sudden, as it begins to roll, can you imagine what Satan was doing in that moment? He was going, wait a minute. No, what's going on? No, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. He's supposed to be dead. He's supposed to stay in the grave. But no. So all of a sudden, the stone rolls over and Jesus walks to the entrance of the tomb. And I just had this picture in my mind of Jesus walking out of the tomb and looking back like, is that all you got? You know? And then to think to myself, you know, as I was thinking through, what does that all look like and mean? You know, Jesus, when he instructed the disciples, when you go into a town, if the town doesn't accept you or if they don't agree with you, you need to shake the dust off your feet and keep walking. So I pictured in my mind Jesus walking out of the tomb and he just wipes his feet. He wipes his feet to sin. He wipes his feet to death. He wipes his feet to Satan. And he says, you're going to have to do much better than that. So here we are. We find ourselves today celebrating that moment, celebrating that time and place. And the good news is this morning is we don't need a day to celebrate the resurrection. We focus in on it today because it's Easter. But the beauty of the story is it's all the time. Jesus is still resurrected. Jesus is not only resurrected, but he's resurrecting us. He's working in us, defeating sin and death in us. I'm going to confess to you this morning, I am a sucker for infomercials. I love infomercials. Do I have anybody else here in the room that loves infomercials? Come on. All right, we got a couple. This is church, y'all. If you'd lie, God's going to know, right? But I'm a sucker for infomercials. When I found out that there was a store called As Seen on TV, I was giddy. And my wife's laughing because she knows too. In fact, we were walking through the mall and all of a sudden I see this store, As Seen on TV store, and I was like, There's a place like this? It's not just on TV anymore? And so, of course, I go in there, and Kaylee the whole time is like, oh, please, don't walk out with half the store. Because I love gadgets. I love gizmos. I love anything that'll make my life easier, right? I mean, things that I can't do on my own that I need help with. You know, I love those things. So I love infomercials. In fact, I want to share with you this morning my favorite infomercial. Is that okay? Can I take... Here's the amazing thing. It's 40 seconds. But look at how much information you can learn in 40 seconds. Watch this.
New improved OxiClean versatile powder. Saves you money all around your home. Now with 40% more oxygen power. Safely remove tough stains the first time without the damaging effects of bleach. Add a scoop to every load to boost your detergent for brighter colors and whiter whites. It also works on carpets to remove stains and odors or make a paste to whiten grout. For a smart one-stop solution to 101 laundry and household stains, OxiClean versatile powder does more to save you more.
Right? Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that make you want to buy OxiClean? And don't worry, I don't have any stock in OxiClean. But that's awesome. I mean, except for this one part. I went back and I watched the commercial again and I was a little disturbed by one thing. Are we washing our laundry with iced tea? Like, well, what are we putting in our laundry that all of a sudden our laundry looks like ice? Folks, don't wash your clothes with iced tea, right? And then the other part there that cracks me up is just the below, right there, right below the little box, you can see the words, a dramatization. Right, no kidding, no kidding. But it's amazing, we think about OxyClean, we think about all these things, these stain removers, and my wife and I, we needed a really heavy-duty stain remover. So we were living in our first home in Bourbonnais, and we were both in full-time ministry, and there were many nights where we would come home from church, and we would just be exhausted. So we would stop at McDonald's. And one of my favorite things to get at McDonald's is a chicken sandwich, right? Now, so Bourbonnais doesn't have a Chick-fil-A, so we had McDonald's, okay? So we would get the chicken sandwich, and then I would put the buffalo sauce, right? You guys ever have McDonald's buffalo sauce? It's really good. So we used to pour that on. I should wear like their logos on me, right? Maybe we get endorsements. So one night we came home and we propped up the TV trays and out in the living room and we were getting ready to eat together. And I had opened up my buffalo sauce and I'm getting ready to dip my sandwich in it. And I don't know exactly what happened. All I remember is it wasn't my fault. And things were happening quickly and the TV tray got knocked over with a full container, open container of buffalo sauce. And it was like slow motion. I mean, the table started to tip over. I was like, you know, and the buffalo sauce was on there. It was like coming out of the container as it's falling and it lands on the ground, you know, boom, boom, boom. And the buffalo sauce squiggles across the carpet. And now we're like, what do we do? Because we got to clean it up. And I remember we went and we started to get towels. We started to get products. We had all these different things that we were using to try to scrub the carpet, and we were scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing, and the best we could do was make it light pink. And so for years in our house, we had a nice, bright, light pink stain across our carpet. And we never even thought to actually ask a person, a professional carpet cleaner who actually attended our church, to come over and help us with it, because we thought it was a lost cause. We thought, surely enough, if you spill buffalo sauce on your kind of white tannish carpet, it's going to be there forever. So we did what anybody else would do in that situation. We got a rug. Right? We got a rug. And we covered over this big, huge, nasty, gnarly stain with a rug. Well, I think if we're really paying attention this morning, we can say the same thing about sin in our life. I think we could say the same thing. Like, what we have to realize this morning, if we're really honest, we recognize that the stain of sin is a part of the carpet of our life. We try to cover it up with a rug, but there isn't a rug big enough that can cover this up. We're all born with this huge black stain of sin on the carpet of our life. It goes all the way back to the garden. It goes back to the part where God gave man choice and man made a choice, and unfortunately they made the choice to become God on their own, to really say, I don't need God. And because of that, it introduced sin into the world. We have these three jars over here, and I want to introduce you to sin. Now, it's really kind of interesting. I did this in the first service, and you can see the label of sin is actually now getting kind of nasty, and I like it. Because we have to remember and realize this morning that sin is nasty. It's dirty. It infects us. It affects us. It causes this stain on the carpet of our life. Recognizing that there are times that we scrubbed and we scoured and we've used products. We've even consulted Pinterest. I'm sure Pinterest has something that'll tell me how to get the stain out of the carpet. But again, I want you to hear me tell you this morning, there isn't a rug big enough to cover the stain of sin in your life. Proverbs 28:13 tells us that people who conceal their sin will not prosper. John 1, chapter 1, verses 8 and 10 read like this: "If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in truth. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts." Folks, this morning, we have got to recognize, it's vitally important for us to recognize that we were born with a sin that we had no choice in, but it's affected us. And it's affected us to the point where it changes who we are. Now, when we look at this, we realize that, okay, this sin is now a part of who we are. Now, imagine if you tried to go in and separate the sin from you. You can't. It's impossible. Once sin has affected your life, it has infected it to the point where you have no ability on your own to remove the stain of sin. You can't do it. And if we recognize the stain of sin in our life, this becomes a big problem. This isn't a little problem. Think about how many times in Ecclesiastes or when Paul says that a little bit of yeast leavens the whole loaf, meaning a little bit of sin, it doesn't matter how big it is or how little it is, it moves throughout the whole entire thing. This becomes a problem. You see, in Romans 6:23, it tells us that the wages of sin is death. Meaning the commodity of sin is death. The only thing that sin pays you is death. That's it. That's the only thing it does. So in order for us to experience forgiveness, in order for us to experience not just forgiveness, but eternity with God, we have to deal with the stain of sin in our lives. We can't ignore it. We can't put a carpet over it. We can't even use products to try to clean it. All throughout the book of Romans, Paul deals with, especially the first seven chapters, he deals with this understanding of sin. He tries to paint a portrait for us to help us to better understand it. He tries to write it out in what he struggles with himself so that we can understand that we too struggle in this area. The American evangelist Charles Finney said once, "Sin is the most expensive thing in the universe. If it is forgiven sin, it cost God his son. If it is unforgiven sin, it cost the sinner eternity." It's a powerful statement, folks. Last week, we read a paraphrase of Romans 8, the beginning part of that. And I want to do the same thing for us today. I want us to read a paraphrase of Romans 7, but I'm not going to have it up on the screens, and I'm going to ask you not to turn in your Bible. Typically, you all know how much I love Scripture and how much we as a faith community and a church, we love Scripture. The We Believe reading program is a chapter a day reading through the New Testament. It's intentional because we want to allow God through his word to permeate every part of who we are. Amen? But I want you this time, this morning, as we read Romans 7, the end of Romans 7, the paraphrase, I want you to listen to it. Okay? And I want you to think to yourself, what parts of this also do you resonate with? What parts of this also do you say, wow, that's me. That's me. Listen to these words. "The power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions. I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decided to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to be bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me, and it gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable." Let me say that again. It happens so regularly that it becomes predictable. The moment that I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Do you hear Paul's desperate plea? Do you hear Paul's understanding that he's so desperate to do what is right, but he finds himself constantly being held under the weight of sin? He has good intentions, but folks, good intentions doesn't equal eternity. And for us, we place ourselves in this situation going, man, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to do good, and it just seems like I fail every time. And this sin, it's like a weight around my neck, and it keeps entangling me. It keeps holding me down. Isn't there a program that I can get into that will help me with this sin and remove the stain of sin in my life? Can I read a book? Isn't there a good self-help book that if I just read this book, I'll be forgiven? What about like a TED Talk? Yeah, I go to TED Talks all the time, and maybe there's a good TED Talk I can go to, and that'll teach me how to get rid of this sin. Or, at last resort, we turn to Pinterest. Surely, Pinterest has a board for this. Actually, Pinterest does have a board for this. If you go and you type in sin, there's many people that have put out on a Pinterest board how you can learn where you need to go and who you need to turn to in order to deal with the stain of sin in your life. You see, we use all sorts of cleaners, don't we? If we were to tackle a sin like this, if we were to tackle a stain like this, we would use all sorts of cleaners and we would pour all sorts of things on it. But the reality is if we're going to deal with sin in that way, we use the cleaner of intelligence. And we think that if we're just smart enough, then that'll remove the stain of sin in our life. Or maybe if we're just wealthy enough. You see, because maybe, you know, they say that money solves all problems, right? So maybe money can solve the problem of sin in my life. And we tend to think, we take it a step further when we go and we think about the influence, our own influence. And I'm a good person. I'm a good person. And this is one of my favorites, church. We tend to think that if I just go to church more, if I just show up at church more, then my attendance is going to count for something. And even if I go to church enough, then that'll take away the sin in my life. And the last thing is even relationships. All of these things. We put these things in, and on the surface, they cover up. They cover up, and everything on the surface looks great. But the reality is, deep down, we have this deep, stain of sin that no matter how hard we try, we can't get rid of. Jeremiah 2:22 says it like this: although you wash yourself with soap and use an abundance of cleansing powder, the stain of your guilt is still before me, says the sovereign Lord. Jeremiah does a great job of sharing with us that there's nothing you can do to remove this sin. You can't scrub hard enough. You can't scour hard enough. You can't make yourself good enough in order to get rid of the stain of sin. We read Romans 7, and I left off at verse 24. And I want to pick up at 24, but I want to keep reading because we stopped right before the hope. Here it is. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Verse 25. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. Am I preaching yet? See, the amazing thing is just at the point where Paul stops and he says, is there anyone out there who can help me? The answer is found. Paul reveals the source of the answer. He says, yes, there is. His name is Jesus. As much as we try to scrub and scour and clean, we can't make ourselves clean. We are in need of a Savior. This is why we need Jesus. Here's the amazing thing I want to tell you about Jesus. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that Jesus, our high priest, was tempted in every way, but yet was without sin. He was tempted in every way, but he was sinless perfection. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, for God made Christ who never sinned. Never sinned. Sin could never penetrate Jesus. But listen to what it says in 5:21. It says, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. You see, we're in need of a Savior because he becomes the offering of sin for us. In order for our relationship between man and God to be made right, we need Jesus, who becomes the sin offering for us. God, through Jesus, is the answer. But there's something that we need to do. There is something that is a part of what we do. You see, God gave us this wonderful gift called free will, a choice. Just like he gave Adam and Eve a choice in the garden, he gives us the same choice this morning. We read Proverbs 28:13, and again, I stopped right before the hope. Because as we read it, it says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. I don't know about you, but there are so many times in my life that I am in desperate need and I desire God's mercy. It's only God's mercy that will remove the stain of sin in our story. And it's amazing because it tells us what we need to do if we confess our sin and turn from our sin. You see, the amazing thing is that turn is repentance. Asking God, God, I need you to do what I can't do on my own. I need you to clean what I can't clean. I need you to penetrate what I can't penetrate. I need you to do what I can't do on my own. And so we pray that God will hear us when we call, and we know that he does. I read 1 John 1:7-9. I have to admit to you, I'm leaving out pieces because I want to tell you what those pieces are now. Because 1 John 8:10, which fall right in between 7 and 9, is the hope. Are you ready for this, church? But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We can be forgiven today. He cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9 says, but if we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. You can't do this on your own. You are in need of Jesus. The only way that you could ever separate the sin in your life and make sense of it and understand and remove the power that sin has is through Jesus. That's it. It's through Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that can cover sin completely today. While sin has caused our lives to be shattered and broken, Jesus is able to clean us and make us whole. Isn't that good news this morning, church? I want you to hear this line, and we're going to sing this song, and I want you to just allow yourself to hear what it is that we're proclaiming through this song this morning. But listen to this line. There's nothing too dirty that Jesus can't make worthy. Let me say it again. There's nothing too dirty that Jesus can't make worthy.
I see shattered, you see.
Can you say that this morning? Can you say this morning that you too find yourself washed in the blood of his sacrifice, recognizing that his blood ran red, but it made us white? You see, we don't want you to leave here this morning without confronting the knowledge and knowing that you can't make yourself clean, that that's why we are in need of Jesus. You see, the amazing thing about Jesus is he didn't just come to make us clean, but he came to defeat sin and death forever. Forever. The amazing thing is, as we look at this jar now that says Jesus on it, you'll notice that it's empty. Jesus even told us in Scripture that he is made as an offering, a drink offering, being poured out. The amazing thing about Jesus is he pours his whole life out into you and into me to defeat sin and death once and for all. Don't leave here without meeting the risen Savior who desires to make you clean this morning. Romans 6:23, again, I read the beginning and I've left off the end because I want to share it with you now. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the gift that God offers each and every one of us this morning. I know many of you this morning have probably come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You've recognized the stain of sin in your life. You recognize that you can't make yourself clean. You've called out on the name of the Lord. But it doesn't mean that there's still pieces and parts of you that are still being entangled by sin. And you've recognized that maybe it's been a long time that you haven't really come to a place of sacrifice, a place of surrender. This altar is a place of grace, not a place of disgrace. The altar here is a place of conversation, not condemnation. And a few weeks ago, we introduced a song to you, "O Come to the Altar." And there's an important line in this song that I want you to hear this morning. It says, "O come to the altar, our Father's arms are open wide." Folks, regardless of your condition, God loves you and wants you. Regardless of who you are or where you've been or what you've done, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He loves you. But as you've heard me say before, we don't get to choose whether or not we're loved by God, but we do choose whether or not we love God. You see, he loves us no matter what, but we do get to choose whether or not we choose to love him back. He loves you. His arms are open wide to accept you. I want you to stand with me. And as we sing this song, I want to simply invite you to come and to have a conversation with the risen Lord, the only one who is able to remove that stain of sin. Whatever it is, big or little, sin is separating you from eternity. It's separating you from a relationship with God, and you don't have to do that anymore. Come. Don't worry about the person next to you, because the reality is, on the day of judgment, which we're all going to experience, the person next to you is not going to stand there. They're not going to be able to plead a case for you. Only you will be standing there. And I want to give us the opportunity to recognize this morning that Jesus is here. He's right here. His arms are open wide. And I want you just to simply slip out and come. And we'll have people that'll pray with you. And we'll pray and support you. Don't leave here without dealing with the stain of sin.